Hello everyone and welcome to this week's episode of Boat Briefing. My name is Stuart Campbell and here to help me navigate through all the news from the world of superyachting is Caroline White.
Hello Stuart.
Before we get going, I have some very exciting news. The Boat Briefing podcast is now officially sponsored by none other than KVH. I am thrilled KVH have joined us on this podcast journey.
So, Stu, for anyone who hasn't heard of KVH, can you please fill in the gaps?
Yeah, I would be very happy to. KVH Industries creates and delivers the innovations that enable our mobile world. A global leader in mobile connectivity, KVH's groundbreaking, award-winning solutions enable people on leisure boats, yachts, and commercial vessels to stay connected to business, family, and friends using innovative hybrid communications and content.
Fascinating. Well, can you tell us a bit about the company itself?
I'd be very happy to. Founded in 1982, the company is based in Middleton, Rhode Island, with research, development, and manufacturing operations in Middleton and sales, service, and engineering offices around the globe. But did you know, Caroline, that KVH's recent product launch, TrackNet, is a hybrid solution offering intelligent switching among satellite, cellular, and Wi-Fi networks all under one dome?
I did not know that.
Or that KVH's award-winning TrackVision family of fully stabilized marine satellite systems delivers premium satellite TV from services worldwide?
This is an embarrassment of coverage, Stuart.
Or how about the fact that KVH serves customers in more than 142 countries around the globe?
Well, my dinner party chat has just taken a very dramatic change in direction.
For all your SATCOM and connectivity needs, check out KVH. That is kvh.com. So from advertising somebody else's product to advertising a very exciting new role here at Boat International. That is for a sales executive. We mentioned it on the podcast last week as well. So this is a chance to join our commercial team and work here in our Wimbledon office. You'll take over an existing book of clients. You'll grow those accounts. You'll develop new business. You'll travel the world, have lots of wonderful adventures and meet some fantastic people.
There are also always free chocolates at reception, just so you know.
There are free chocolates, although they look like they might have been there for a while. I never see anyone eating those chocolates.
I eat about five a morning.
Do you?
That's why I'm having quite expensive dental work at the moment.
They're just suspiciously always at the same level.
Well, that's because, well, I don't know how deep we want to go into this. I take the good ones from the top. So what you're just saying is the base layer of chocolates that stay there all the time. Anyway.
The bedrock, chocolate bedrock.
If you get there early in the morning, there are always free chocolates at reception.
There you go. So come and join us. Come work for Boat International. Eat free chocolates and travel the world and all that other good stuff.
So, Stu, you've just been in Bermuda, speaking of travelling the world, for the judging of the World Superyacht Awards with our panel of judges who are all superyacht owners, very engaged in the process. I know that they visit as many of our nominee yachts in person as possible. Tell us how it was. Was there lots of drama, contention?
There's always some very spirited debate, very well-informed, spirited debate. And I always say this, and I think I said it last time as well, you know, I go in with some fairly firm ideas about which boats I reckon will win each category. Let's just say I was off the mark on one or two categories this year. That's a great thing because in finding out that I'm horrendously wrong about something, I also learn quite a lot because they're very good at explaining. Well, you know, during the debate, they, you know, this is good for this reason, this is bad for that reason. And so you actually see each boat from a slightly different perspective because obviously I'm not looking at it from the owner's perspective, whereas they are. So they come at it from quite a radically different point of view. But it was great. It was a brilliant day. In fact, it was a brilliant few days. We've introduced a few new judges this year, which is great because it's always, you know, really, really good to introduce new voices, opinions, and experiences. So we were working with the Bermuda Tourism Authority, and they really rolled out the red carpet. So we were staying at the Rosewood Hotel in Tucker's Point, which is an amazing hotel. If you stayed there, you'll know great rooms, beautiful restaurants and facilities. The judges meeting itself took place in the Bacardi HQ, which is kind of amazing, all glass, almost all glass structure in Hamilton. So the meeting itself took place in the boardroom of this building, which overlooks what I'm told is the world's largest spirits bar.
Wow.
It's just a beautiful, beautiful backdrop and really cool room. And I didn't quite appreciate that Bacardi owns everything. I didn't really
know. Really?
Okay. Which, yeah, it's so much more than just Bacardi.
Oh, really?
I knew there was a portfolio, but the portfolio is vast.
Wow, okay.
So we had some lovely dinners as well. There's a newer restaurant in Hamilton Princess called Intrepid, which is very nice. So we always do throw in a kind of a fun day, cultural day, after the judging as well. So we rented this fleet of little electric cars and we formed this kind of snail trail of electric cars around Bermuda's roads, which was great fun.
Sounds delightful.
And it all culminated in a barbecue at the Governor's Mansion, where we actually got to meet Her Excellency, Miss Rina Laugi, the Governor of Bermuda, who was a thoroughly delightful woman.
Sounds great.
Yeah, it was really, really, really special day. So very, very lucky, obviously, to take part in that. And I think everyone had a wonderful time.
And how was the weather, Stuart, given your English rose complexion, shall we say?
Well, actually, it really suited my English rose complexion.
Oh, really?
Because the weather was awful.
Oh, no.
So the first day, it turns out Bermuda in February isn't actually that warm. So the first day was quite nice. And then it got very, very windy and actually very, very cold. Well, not very cold. I mean, it wasn't Arctic, but it was like...
I must say, I'm finding it difficult to squeeze out many drops of sympathy for you.
It was I was quite chilly.
Oh, dear.
But then on the last day, it rained torrentially, but then cleaned up in the afternoon. So it was quite nice in the end. But yeah, it's risky weather in Bermuda in February, I have discovered. It's not quite as reliable as those islands a bit further south. Actually, how about this for a link? Talking about those islands a bit further south, there is in a couple of weeks, well, actually next week, it almost feels like half the office is off to an event called Between the Bays, which kicks off on the 9th in Anguilla and St. Martin, between those two islands. And so we've got some great boats attending that, actually. I think we're on 10 now. So Atalanta, the 38.8-meter Clarsen.
So that's an André Hook-designed modern classic, very beautiful boat.
It is. Seven Sins, 52-meter San Lorenzo.
So that was the first San Lorenzo 52 steel. I've actually been on board that one, but in a rather less glamorous location in the actual shipyard. So, yeah.
Great boat. Then there's Untethered, 33-meter Horizon will be joining us, as will Club M, the 40-meter Balietto.
So that is our US editor, Cecile Gowett, described this boat as a Swiss Army knife when she came out, with loads of really cool features and a particularly cool slide-out owner's balcony in the hull. So if you see that popping out, try and get a closer look. She also has a really beautiful Achilles Salvagni interior, which is kind of retro and curvy and very beautiful, and a really unusual profile, something you'll be able to see from anywhere, with a very low... sort of very low profile, because she has only two accommodation decks, which is one of the owner's decisions. But it's a really interesting, beautiful boat, I think.
I've never been on Club M, so I'm quite interested to see her.
Yeah, trying to blag an invite, I'd say.
She won a World Superyacht Award in 2020.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Another Balietto will be joining her, Enterprise, the brand new 38.3-meter.
So that boat is in the March issue of Boat International magazine, if you've got that in front of you.
Nostromo, 30-meter Pendennis sailing yacht. Ingot, the 47-meter Berger. Red Dragon, never seen that one before as well. That's 51.7-meter alloy. Elmira 2, 50-meter Perini. And Eros, 37-meter custom line. So a really, really cool mix of motor and sail there. Joining us just in, about 10 days, I think.
Between the Bays.
Between the Bays.
Nice.
It's going to be a fantastic event. And then, of course, after that, it's the Bucket.
So I don't know if you knew these things about the Bucket. I just looked them up to give us a little bit of background. It was started relatively recently, in 1995, and purely for yachts over 100 feet, which is about 30.5 meters. Four yachts competed in the first year, and this year there are 26 yachts entered and three expressions of interest, including Black Pearl and Sea Eagle 2, which I think we'll discuss in a sec. The bucket refers to the bucket of champagne that gets given to the winner.
Yeah, it's I love this event. It's my I think it is my favorite event.
Why?
It's just I love regattas anyway, and if you're going to do a regatta, that what better, there's few better places than St. Barts.
True.
Because it kind of, the event kind of takes over the town of Gustavia. And it's fun because you just walk down the street and you're just bumping into people and boats all lined up on the dock. And it's a brilliant atmosphere in town. And the place itself is stunning. It's fantastic. So there's a great fleet this year. Excited to see Athos, the 63 meter. She's just fresh out of Royal Houseman after a comprehensive refit. In fact, Athos is in contention for this year's World Superyacht Awards for best refit. Another exciting boat is Perseverance 1, the 40-meter Baltic. She is a World Superyacht Awards winner. Black Pearl, you mentioned. So she's not, I checked the list earlier, so she's not officially in the running, but she is, like you said, expressed interest in joining. I so hope she races, mainly because I will be doing everything I can to blag a ride. if you're listening to this, captains of Black Pearl, you know you want to. So there's eight boats in the Corinthian Spirit class, which I think might be the most ever. That's really exciting. And now if Sea Eagle 2, Black Pearl and Prana, which is another expression of interest, all take part, they're going to race in the Corinthian Spirit class as well, which will take it up to 11.
Wow.
Which is really healthy, I think. So in summary, the Corinthian class is a no spinnaker class, basically. You can't jam, 25 pro, rock stars on your boat to sail it to within an inch of its life. It's more just kind of white sailing, friends and family, a few imported crew, but it's not quite, so it's not quite as, well, it's still competitive. But, it's a bit more rosé sailing.
Sounds like my kind of sailing.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. But the benefit of it, of course, is the fact that it's way cheaper. So you don't have to pay mad salaries for tons of pro race crew. It's still obviously expensive, but it's not quite so expensive. So it's a much lower barrier to entry in terms of the cost and skill level, and frankly, it's just a lot less hassle. And I don't know why it's not bigger. I think this might be the most Corinthian boats ever, but certainly if I was in possession of a large sailing yacht, Corinthian, I would be Corinthian all day long. It's just a slightly more chilled out way of doing things.
If a boat, so this is slightly off piece, but so obviously a lot of the boats entering this are a kind of 30, 40 meter type size. If you've got a boat like Black Pearl, which is 106 meters, could they race together? Would that be fair?
Yeah, so they couldn't be in a class of one. They'd just be massively handicapped because their water line length is so huge that they'll just blow away everything else in the fleet. They might be starting, hours after everybody else. I'm not quite sure how they've figured it out, but. I mean, I'm guessing Black Pearl will be starting at the back of the fleet. That's if she races.
Right, okay.
Fingers crossed she will.
Yeah.
Because in most conditions, the more boat you've got in the water, the better.
Okay.
So you can see, actually, talking about Between the Bays boats, you can see a bit more about each of those boats taking part on the website now. We'll provide the link. And we might do a little fleet roundup for the bucket as well. I think that might be a good idea. I'll ask the team to do that because there's some really, really cool boats and boats that haven't been there before. So that's exciting. It's a really cool fleet. Also on the website, I just wanted to flag as well, we've got some new interior photos of Ace, the 44.3 meter Conrad built motor yacht. So it's Poland's biggest ever super yacht. She eclipses Via Taurus, which was delivered a few years ago. Via Taurus is another World Superyacht Award winner. So Conrad obviously know what they're doing up there in Poland. So her Ace's exterior was designed by Raymond Langton in collaboration with the Yard's in-house stylist, and her interior is by M2 Atelier. So the new pictures show a very cool, calm interior based on a less is enough philosophy, according to the shipyard.
Sounds funny hearing you say things like
less
that.
Is enough.
Less is enough.
I quite like that. I've not heard that before, actually.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. The only materials selected are teak, some lacquer marble, grey leather, light-coloured fabrics and dark metal accents. Actually, I really like the styling of this boat. And it's going into a future issue, isn't it?
In our May issue.
Yeah. So have a look at that. We'll have a look at the pics on the website, and then for the full complete story, obviously pick up the May issue. But yeah, bang on trend. Bang on trend, this boat. And Raymond Langton have done a really cool job with the exterior.
Yeah.
Beautiful. They do a great job of all exteriors, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, it is a really interesting story, actually. So I do recommend you pick up the magazine, and we'll have all of the photos on there, every beautiful interior and some really, really stunning exterior photos as well.
So let's move on to this week's brokerage picks. Why don't you go first, Caroline?
Okay. Well, this one, Stu, is especially for you. I chose it partly because
it's cheap.
It's reasonably priced. It's only 1.35 million euros with Ocean Independence. So I was thinking that if you sell your house and maybe send a few of your many children out to work, it might be within reach. Yeah, it's really beautiful, 20-meter De Vries Lench 1965 classic motor yacht, refitted in 2016. It's got a canoe stern, huge sun deck, really nice bow lounge, full beam master cabin, and the sales blurb says that she's very fuel efficient for long range cruising. So I think she's right up your street.
She is a happy little ship, this one, isn't she?
Really lovely.
Yeah,
really beautiful.
She's so nice. 1.35 million euros.
She's called La Croma. Sorry.
La Croma, yeah.
I'm not sure if I mentioned that.
Quite an important detail.
She's for sale with Ocean Independence. La Croma.
Yeah, she's, yeah. Cool little boat.
And how about you, Stu? What have you got?
So I've chosen, given the slight sailing theme this week, I've picked a boat I've actually raced on at St. Bart's. Pink Gin. She's the fourth Pink Gin to carry the name. And she is, of course, the 54-meter Baltic and the largest carbon fiber sloop in the world. She's in the brokerage news at the moment because she's just had a 2 million euro price drop. She's now asking 27.5 million euros with Edmiston. She was designed by Udall Vrolik, and the interior is by Design Unlimited. It's quite an idiosyncratic interior. Do you remember in the magazine?
Yeah.
And actually, again, I think Pink Gin's a World Super Yacht Award winner. So, yeah, we're really on the theme this week, aren't we?
Yeah.
You kind of look at the pictures of the interior and you think, wow, and it is quite gripping.
Okay.
Gripping? Arresting.
Is it quite bright? Am I making
quite bright.
Yeah.
A lot of colours.
Yeah.
And velvets and things like that, and dark and lights. And you think, oh, God, you know, that's too much. But actually, you get on board the boat and it all hangs together really, really nicely. So you might know the boat by its massive bright pink kite that weighs nearly a quarter of a ton. So when I was racing on the boat, I didn't actually rush forward to help with the drop because the crew told me to stay firmly in the cockpit where I belonged, which, to be fair, I was more than happy to do. But she's obviously a Baltic look, so she's beautifully put together. As you'd expect. And she's not a bad motor sailor too. Under power, she can hit 12 knots and cruise for 2,500 nautical miles. So plenty of motor sailing potential. Yep, 27.5 million euros with Edmiston.
Well, that sounds lovely. Not as much of a bargain as mine though, so.
How many La Cromas can you buy for one
exactly.
Pink Gin?
Yeah.
Neither of us are smart enough to work out the maths that quickly.
No, and I think that's why neither of us are going to be buying one anytime soon.
Let's talk some news. Why don't you kick us off?
Dutch shipyard Holtermann has delivered its first 23.9-metre Extreme 78 sport model, Miramar. The new model marks a new iteration of the yard's Extreme line, which has been designed by Bernard Veal. It shares the same DNA as the 32.6-metre Lady Fleur, which scooped two awards at the Boat Design and Innovation Awards last month.
And is in contention for the World Superyacht Awards. So you might, I don't know if you've seen it, but this is one of our biggest social media hits ever. I think it is our biggest social media hit ever. So Adam, so it's got this amazing aft deck that opens up, drops the tender and can refill as a pool and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So it's an amazing piece of engineering. So Adam, our head of social, stood on the aft deck and videoed this operation of this tender opening and sped it up. So it's triple speed. And it got 10 million views on Instagram within about 10 minutes. It was just absolutely blew up. A viral hit. And actually it overtook, annoyingly, it became more viral than the video I took
a few
years ago at some parts of lots of water rushing through the gunnels of a boat called Columbia, which reappears every once in a while on Instagram.
Well, lucky you're going back to St. Bart's very soon.
And I know, I need to eclipse this viral hit of Adam's.
Yeah. Well, back to Miramar, the design concept for the 78 Sports was centered around speed and space. To meet the brief, Miramar has been constructed in lightweight aluminium with a planing hull design. A deep V double chine hull and a twin Volvo Penta IPS propulsion package allow her to reach top speeds in excess of 30 knots. Kitty van der Kamp Design has helmed the interior design of Miramar. Holtermann's in-house carpenters supplied a mix of dark oak and lighter walnut elements, which worked together with translucent light panels and bronze accents. Bernard Veal said the level of finish at Holtermann is phenomenal, and each yacht features a wide range of amenities that make life on board a real treat. This meticulous attention to comfort and detail also extends to the interiors, and the extreme ethos is truly impressive in every respect.
Thanks, Caroline. That's the new 23.9-meter from Holtermann. They're doing some really interesting things, a pretty new brand, but they certainly turn lots of heads with Lady Fleur, and this one follows in the same mold.
Absolutely.
Next up, we have the news that the Italian Sea Group has confirmed the sale of a new 73-metre superyacht for its GC4 series. The model, to be built under the Admiral brand, has been commissioned by an American owner, and the sale was finalised through Michael Tabor and Brandon Cummer at Kitson Yachts. An evolution of the 50-metre C4 series, which includes Uranos and Life Saga 2, the project has been created by the Italian Sea Group's in-house design team, and will be built with a steel hull and aluminium superstructure. Amidships are double-height glass panels that break up the superstructure, with side decks removed to provide uninterrupted views. Giovanni Constantino, founder and CEO of the Italian Sea Group, said this important order finalized in the US confirms the validity of our development path in the American market for large yachts, consolidating the Italian Sea Group's position as a global player of reference in the mega yacht segment. Actually, while we're on the Italian Sea Group, I just wanted to express our sincere condolences for the death of Giuseppe Taranto, vice president of the Italian Sea Group. Constantino said he felt deeply grieved at the loss of his colleague, whom he had known for the past 30 years. None of us, he said, were prepared to face such a great heartache. Giuseppe, an elegant man, a trusted counselor, and a longtime friend, left us prematurely. The best way to honor his memory is to remember and treasure every day those values of humanity, responsibility, and dedication of which he was the most convinced supporter. So our thoughts with Giuseppe's family and the whole of the Italian Sea Group team at this difficult time.
Yeah, I'd just like to echo Stuart's words. That's very sad, and we're very sorry to hear of his loss. Moving on to our next story. Yacht design studio Tilburg Design of Sweden has released further details about the interior concept for a 207-metre Four Seasons yacht, which is currently in build at Fincantieri. Due to hit the water in 2025, the 14-deck custom-designed vessel will have 95 cabins and offer a yacht experience for guests. The Swedish design studio is responsible for the design of the exterior and suites, while the London-based Martin Brudnitsky Design Studio is looking after the boat's guest areas. The Four Seasons yacht will also have creative direction by Prosper Asselin. Fredrik Johansson, executive director of Tilburg Design of Sweden, said that the Four Seasons yacht confirmed a burgeoning trend for luxury yacht liners. The cruise superyacht hybrid vessel aims to combine the scale of small and intimate cruise ships with superyacht amenities, splendour and level of sophistication. He adds that our new project started with a very clear and unique vision from our client. The brief was condensed into a single line. Imagine that Christina O, the legendary yacht built for Aristotle Onassis, meets James Bond.
It's quite a brief.
It is. It's a pretty cool brief. The Four Seasons yacht will be comprised entirely of suites, with a build cost of $4.2 million per cabin. Each suite will have floor-to-ceiling windows, ceiling heights of more than 2.4 metres, and will combine indoor and outdoor living space. The top residence will be called the Funnel Suite, looks pretty amazing in pictures, and will be spread across four floors, offering more than 892 square metres of living space, a private pool and a private spa area.
Yeah, you got to see pictures of this Funnel Suite. It looks something else. So yeah, another kind of these cruisy, super yachty, shippy boats.
Around.
Yeah, there's more and more of them. I mean, I think we've spoken about them in the past. I quite like the idea, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, I know when the World, which was arguably the originator, first came on the scene, I think the big benefit is that it goes to places that you might not want to take your personal yacht to, so you might not want to take your yacht to Antarctica, and you can go on the World or one of these boats and not risk your own boat and still live in absolute luxury.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah. If you can bear to cohabit with other people.
Well, I don't know how much do you have to, I don't know how much you have to mix. Maybe you just get to.
I reckon in this Funnel Suite, you live like a Bond villain.
Yeah, there, exactly.
Across exactly. Four floors.
You don't see anyone else.
No. Thanks, Caroline. That's the news. So let's just whip through some data, which, as ever, is brought to you by Boat Pro, the superyacht industry's leading market intelligence service. So in honor of Tim Haywood's session at the recent Superyacht Design Festival and his Lifetime Achievement Award in 2021, this week, Raphael, our data guru, has dug into his portfolio a little bit. So including refits, Tim has designed 63 superyachts to date, measuring together 4,378
metres. Wow.
So that's an average LOA of a Tim Haywood project of 69.5 metres, which must be right up there. There can't be too many other designers with a better average LOA over such a long period.
No.
So he's designed 23 boats more than 70 metres long and 39 between 50 and 70 metres. He hasn't designed any between 40 and 50 metres. Why slum it? and only one between 30 and 40 metres. Actually, that boat is, of course, My Saga, which very tragically sank in southern Italy in August last year. So Tim's only boat in the 30 to 40 metre range, sadly, is the bottom of the ocean. You might remember the rather harrowing footage of the video listing very, very heavily, and it sank in about 200 metres of water. The 39.4 metre boat was delivered by Cantieri San Marco in 2007, but is very sadly no more. Tim's largest design to date is A+, which was, of course, launched in 2012 as Topaz by Lursen.
Yeah.
But his most iconic is, well, I mean, everyone's got their favourite, but Polaris is so associated with Tim.
Yeah.
And he actually spoke at some length about Polaris during the SDF, and we have actually successfully managed to extract some audio from the SDF. So we failed spectacularly with the Explore Yacht Summit last year, but we haven't followed up with another failure at this event. So we will bring you some audio from the sessions from the SDF as podcasts in the coming weeks. I think we might do the Tim one first.
Yeah.
Strike while the iron's hot, I think. So you can listen to Tim himself talk about some of his favorite and most iconic yacht designs and projects over his incredible career. One of those boats he mentions was the first Amels 171, and he's had this phenomenally successful collaboration with Amels. He's designed 44 limited editions yachts to date.
Wow.
And that brings us to a close.
He's also a surprisingly nice man. That's an odd thing to say. For somebody who's so absolutely phenomenally successful, he's very relaxed, very, very nice, very approachable, friendly, kind kind of guy. So we like having him around our events.
He is. Tim is an absolute gent. And on that note, we come to a close. Thank you for listening to this week's Boat Briefing, which was mixed and produced by Grace Nielsen and is a production of Boat International Media. Thanks also to our shiny new sponsor, KVH, which operates in, or rather serves customers in how many countries?
More than 142.
Well studied. More than 142. You'll get your KVH tattoo next week. We all do. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll see you next time.